the Ozarks back on the farm.
Come on in and set a spell, won't you, neighbors? Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, May Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this, that, and the other in Ozark folklore and traditions, and just generally speaking, to help brighten up this cray and bleak Saturday. Good morning, Minnie.
Good morning, Fred. Fred's right there, just on the dot. Always full of pep and always full of friendship. Fred's a dandy. And thank you, Fred. And how are you, my friends, this morning? The weather's sort of gone back on us and turned, I don't know what it is. Not so cold, but so unfriendly. That's all the way I know how to express it, unfriendly. We have to have winter, of course, but I don't like it. I don't suppose they'll quit having it because I don't like it. The only way I would ever like winter is to be very rich, to have my car driven into the carport, and I would step out into it and never even put my feet on the ground, and the car would be warm as toast, of course, and I would have about $5,000 worth of fur coat wrapped around me and have a fine driver and ride along and look at the snow maybe and get out at some very warm big store and go in and buy whatever I wanted to buy for Christmas and get back and drive to a big cozy warm home. Well, now, wouldn't that be a nice way to spend the winter? Well, now, if I had all that, maybe I wouldn't like it at all. To tell you the truth, if I could take it, I'd a great deal rather tramp the woods and see the cedars and the underbrush white with snow and see the quails whir and start for cover and see all the lovely wild things and feel the cold. That's what I'd really like. But I don't believe I could take it. So, of course, I'd rather take the luxury and the warmth and the comfort. Well, pardon me. I want to thank again so many dear listeners who sent me stamps this morning. And I forgot to thank them in last Saturday. They keep sending these stamps, and Eula Wyman keeps fixing them in books and sending them on. And she gets cash right down on the barrel head for Gold Bond and S&H and Owl. But there's an exchange for the others, but we get it just the same. We get every bit, get the worth of them, every bit. And we don't get it. We don't handle this money, but I mean the fund that it goes into. And I want to thank the women for keeping on sending them. It is wonderful. And I got so many answers about the quiz last week, and I'm not doing that up this time because I'm waiting till next week when I have all the names and everybody who sent me. And some of them guessed it right, and some said one state and some said four. Utah, Colorado, Wyoming, and Arizona, I believe it has four straight lines. And I want to find out everybody's names, and I'll tell you all about it next time. The thing of it is that I fell last Sunday in my own home on a rug, and it's a wonder I'm here. I nearly broke my knees. I fell on my knees, nearly broke my legs. And I'll tell you, I am down in the dumps right now. So I just didn't look up anything, couldn't do anything hardly. I want to thank again so many of the dear listeners who sent me birthday cards. Some were late, and there are all sorts of cute rhymes now printed on cards for late sending. Just as cute as they can be. Well, I don't care how late they come. In fact, I wish they'd keep on coming all the year around. Such beautiful cards and such sweet sentiments and notes written on them. Thank you again and again. You know, time changes things so greatly as the years go on. When I was a kid, nobody ever thought of a birthday card or even knew of one. There weren't any. They had never come in vogue at all for years and years after that. And really, we missed something great when we didn't have them, because it's nice to have a lovely card to send to a dear friend on his birthday. When I was a kid, half of the old folks didn't know when the birthday was. That's true. Actually, they didn't. They just knew that they were born in cucumber time, as Uncle Allen Gentry used to say, and there never was a finer pioneer citizen than Uncle Allen Gentry. We always had a big reunion and dinner on his birthday, and everybody came from far and near with all the best grub in the world, and we just picked out a day in cucumber time. Or somebody used to know that he was born when corn was knee-high. Or just after the war when Uncle Plumley traded the farm off to that feller from Arizona. That's when his birthday was. I was born, personally, somewhere between the Civil War and the Spanish-American War, if we go by wars. I remember that they were wearing bustles when I was a little girl, back as far as I can remember. And then I learned to read when I was only 3 years old. Read everything. I was one of those freaky reading kids. But that doesn't mean that a kid is one bit smarter than the next kid. He just happened to have a freak in that line, was a freak. And I was born in Carthage, Missouri, and I learned to read in the Carthage Press. I'd get that paper down on the floor and pore over it just like I knew it. It is still a fine, flourishing newspaper. When I was a little child, we used to take 5 days to come to Springfield by wagon and camp overnight at Riverdale, coming and going. Now they come up here to a bridge party or to get the baby a new rattle. Oh, the world moves, doesn't it? Well, I've had quite a week, and today I feel all done up as I told you, as if I were taking the flu. Oh, knock on wood, I hope not. I took two of the Asian flu shots, and surely they wouldn't go back on me like that. I have never heard of anyone having the flu who took the shots and preceding it. But I read that the Asian flu is really getting pretty prevalent right now in many states. Last Monday night, I spoke at Pleasant Hope in their nice schoolhouse to the PTA of that section. Such a nice crowd and such fine people as I met in that little town. It always makes me love our Ozarks more and more, and I meet these people. Mr. and Ms. Lloyd Williams took me down, and I had supper with the Pendergrass family. And then the finest family brought me home that night, a smooth, easy, relaxing ride in their nice car. And to save me from perdition, I can't remember that family's name. Tried my best to think. It's a wonder I remember the others. I'm all my life been bad on names, and I'm getting wusser and wusser. I'm simply not all there when it comes to remembering names. But the name will pop into my head when it's too late. It's grand to go places and meet Ozark people. I never meet enough of them. Last Wednesday, I was on TV at KTTS on my good friend Mary Elizabeth Cox's program, her cooking program. And that was fun. And I've had a flood of letters since and calls, and so has Mary Elizabeth. We discussed persimmon pudding, for one thing, and had a fine time out of it. So many, many women now are wanting to make persimmon pudding this year. Persimmons are so plenty. Now I have had several recipes sent me, and so has Mary Elizabeth. So you can send to either of us, and we will copy and send you a recipe. They're all about alike. It's really one delicious pudding. The finest I ever ate was at Mrs. Frances Lemon's at a party at Eureka Springs last year. I will give you the names of the women sending me the recipes next time. Everything I'm going to do is next time. I tell you, I'm out right now. I have them right here together, and I'll get them together tomorrow. And I'm so very much obliged to these dear women. Here is a little something I want to give you. You know, there's so much said. I hope I have time for this, and I know I will. This is off of the subject, but I read it, and I've got to give it to you. It's so much said about too much profit in things, and goodness knows they're right, and about hidden taxes and everything of the sort. Well, here's a little old item I picked up about drinking. It said, if you must drink, start a bar of your own. Let your wife be the barmaid, and you be her only customer. Give her $8. To get a gallon of whiskey. Well, I thought this surely is an old article, because I don't think you can get 4 quarts of whiskey for $8 now, can you? You know, my knowledge of the drinking business is rather limited. Anyway, let your wife go to the Let her get the gallon. That's the thing, main thing is. Now remember, there are 69 drinks in 1 gallon as you get them in a drink joint. 69. Now you pay the same price to your wife and buy your drinks from nobody but her, not another soul. By the time the first gallon is gone, she will have $10 to put in the bank and $8 to start up business again. Should you live 10 years and follow this formula exactly, as you would someplace else, anyhow, and die with whiskey liver or snakes in your boots, she will have money to bury you decently, educate your children, buy a nice house and lot, and marry a decent man and quit thinking about you. Get a pencil, it says, and figure it out for yourself. 69 drinks in a gallon. And figure out what you're paying now. I don't know. Heaven knows. Now, that's a good one for any man. So don't go around crying on somebody's neck about the awful profit and things nowadays if you're paying for liquor. Don't ever mention the word profit anymore. Well, my mind drifts from this to that. Some way for the last 3 weeks, my mind has gone back over and over to Mary Elizabeth Mankey, the wonderful poet woman of our hills, whose fame finally went everywhere. She died a few years ago, and it nearly broke our hearts. She was taken by man's great enemy, cancer. We loved each other so. There was such a bond between us from girlhood. Her lovely little poems came to me all through the day. I don't know, for the last week or two, did you ever have days of some special friend or loved one seemed to walk by you? Says, here's the name I was trying to think of. That's the truth. The people that I brought me home, Van Patterson. Van Patterson brought me home from Pleasant Hope. Thank you, Pattersons. Mr. and Ms. Patterson and their sweet children. Well, now somebody, but you know, that's the way to do. If you find me on the wrong track, why, phone in and they'll bring it right up to me. Well, I don't believe I'll have time for Ms. Mackey's poem, but I'll read them poems that are ringing in my head, but I'll read them to you next week. Anyway, this one. You know, they say you can hardly transplant a cedar tree at all when it's little and make it grow. There's a superstition about it. And she wrote this. The tiny little cedar tree I planted from the glen, it did not like my little dog. It feared my old red hen. It stretched its sticky little arms, and all day long it cried. I'm sorry now I moved it, for I see that it has died. And I'll read you the other little ones next Saturday. You know, many things we move and they die. Many hearts we move and they die. Well, goodbye, and I'll see you next Saturday, the Lord willing, and the creek.